The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
On people, welcome to Throwdown, episode 149. I'm your host Tony Polanco. Today I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How you doing?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Football's finally back.
Brian Manjoma.
Yo.
And Adam Vail.
One of the jewels.
Hey, Adam. Brian, can you say something again? You sound a little echoey there, man.
I don't know. Destiny 2 is trash.
It's just his quality, the quality of his.
Yeah,
his...
Now you sound all right, though. It's all good.
Fine.
All right. Couple of things here. So no bread action. He's doing some stonemason shit. I don't know. Freemasons, whatever he says.
He's a Freemasons.
You know, pretty cool, you know.
I'm supposed to be telling people that.
No, that's it's not a secret, though.
It's not a secret society. They're not the Illuminati. There's a difference.
But he didn't want other people knowing he said.
No, he doesn't care, dude.
You got dirty secrets. You know that. Yeah. Know this. Remember the Toys R Us story. Remember that.
Yeah. By the way, speaking about Brett, I just got to say this because at the end of the last week's show or last Throwdown show, it took like four of us to do the job of one Chris because Chris was in on Throwdown Your Questions. And then we all got into a debate with Brett about the Switch because he was like defending it. You know, that shit was hilarious, man. It took like four of us to do the job of one Chris. But Chris, are you feeling better now, man? I know you had allergies and shit, right?
Oh, yeah. Harvey really screwed up the environment over here because usually by now fall it cools down and dries out, so yeah. I have mold and pollen. Yo, that hurricane came in, all that mold bloomed again. I felt like shit, man.
Damn,
it rained for days,
so that sucks, took it back. Dude.
Yeah, I'm all right now.
All right, that's good, man. All right, people, the time has come, man. On this episode today, we're going to be giving away a free Sonic Mania Collector's Edition for the PS4. And we have selected a winner.
Yes.
But we'll tell you at the end of the show.
Yes, we will.
I love doing that shit, you know?
Just a couple of things. That this is the third anniversary of the Throwdown.
Woo!
And we don't have a soundboard anymore like we did.
Because Google, you know?
Because of Google. Anyway, but yes, it's the third anniversary of the Throwdown on thecoalition.com as well as,
Yeah,
that's also when you came back to
the anniversary of this version on YouTube as well. Like we had a channel up earlier in 2014, but we really launched it 3 years ago. You know,
yeah. Like we you can actually go back. There are a couple of shows like random like YouTube shows that we did, you know, before we officially launched this version of Throwdown. But yeah, this is the third. This is like the main third year one.
Just look for the videos of Tony with cornrows, then you know.
Yeah, you know.
There's some interesting ones back there. You know, some ones with Rachel and Brad, and you know, like just some of the also looking at the format how we had it then.
Rico-san, right?
Yeah.
So, Dinosaur Warriors, you know.
It's actually really cool. It's actually really cool. You can also for you guys who listen to us on SoundCloud, you actually have a lot longer of a
yes,
you know, of Throwdowns you can actually listen to. But granted, you probably can't listen to the first batch of Throwdown episodes, right? That's like the ones from
SCFU, yeah, those aren't on SoundCloud. No,
yeah, those aren't on SoundCloud.
They're not even on fucking because they used to be on I'm forgetting the name of that fucking program, the one we originally used for Throwdown.
Yeah, they did. Lipson. Yeah, Lipson.
Yeah,
yeah.
Torrents killed that shit. So
yeah, Torrents killed the Lipson, so which killed all the shows. Which I felt like we should have downloaded every single one of those things.
I got them all. I got them all downloaded. The problem is I can't upload them because a lot of them had music, like not our music, like actual real music. All those shows are saved. Maybe we'll give them to you in some form. But here's the thing about Throwdown. It's like it would be equivalent of like giving you a newspaper from 3 years ago. Who the hell needs that? You know,
it's interesting to kind of hear, to go back and hear that stuff again. But a lot of that stuff, you hear us speculating about stuff that's already been come out. You know, there's, you know, episodes of us talking about the PlayStation 4 announcements and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's all like outdated. And, you know, that's the one thing about doing the Throwdown is that it's very topical. It's whatever it's coming on right now or what's happening now is what the show is really about.
Yeah. Daniel J says he remembers the days. And this is this version of Throwdown too, when Chris had a webcam.
Yeah.
You know, Chris, what's going on with the webcam situation again?
Oh, I blew up my USB hub, so my camera's just dead here.
No way. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it's probably, you have to probably get a new one.
Yeah, it's not because Chris is hiding from the Nintendo fanboys, you know?
Oh,
he can always come on with a ski mask. I've seen that.
And Brian used to be on camera too, but he's too cool now, you know? It's hilarious. And Carlos is just incognito, you know?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen much of Carlos.
Carlos doesn't want people to know that he's whiter than me, you know?
I got a reputation to keep, man. Brown
Yeah, I feel you. Yo, man. All right, so yeah, Sonic Mania giveaway at the end of the show. It'll be a lot of fun. I also want to give a quick shout out to our boy Malik Forte, who it's his birthday, man. So,
whoa.
Ah, happy birthday.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
You're only Malik 52 once.
Manny and I ran into him all the time at E3 this year, man. It was awesome.
That is the most I've seen Malik at any E3. Like any of the ones we've gone to, like when we knew him. Like I think I caught him on a stage, like because he was playing Evolved or something like that.
Yeah. So what happened? It was pretty funny. Like I ran into Malik because everybody goes to the JW Marriott, right? Always hang out there. So he's staying there because Sony was hooking him up. So I ran into him and he's got his whole entourage there. We're talking and stuff, and he was still in that business mode. You know what I'm saying? Like he was just being cordial and stuff. As soon as I asked him, like, "Yo, Malik, man, what did you think of that Xbox, Scorpio reveal?" His whole demeanor changed. He's like, "Bro, get into the hotel room, bro." I'm like, "Yo, but I'm waiting for Emilio." He's like, "Don't worry about it. When he shows up, I'll bring him upstairs." So we went to this guy's hotel room and we, you know, me, him and like Manny and a bunch of other guys, we were just talking about shit, like the real stuff, bro. It's crazy, you know. I guess these guys went out to dinner and stuff. They all had their food or whatever, you know, but it was cool, man.
You know, those guys are the former, you know, from his old site. See?
That's Malik is, you know, here's the thing I got to say about Malik, right? This guy, you know, he's up there, right? Super up there. Never forget some people who came with him, you know, from the beginning, you know?
No, and he's still, I mean, what was it? Was it the Junkie Monkeys?
Or no, not Junkie Monkeys. Max Level. It was Max Level.
Max Level, yeah. He still brings those guys with him and stuff. Like, you know, he still talks to them and everything.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's cool that he just never forgot where everybody came from because he knows better than anybody what the struggle looks like. So
yeah. Exactly, man. And you know, those old guys include us too. You know, we've been around with them for a while too, you know, for a long time actually.
And then, you know, I was just to be honest, I was like, I was so happy to see him like would you ever think you see that dude like hosting that pre-show on some of the Sony, one of those little Sony stages? Like he was the guy that did those interviews every single, you know, pretty much all the time on the Sony stuff. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing, man. So definitely want to give Malik a shout out. Big inspiration to me personally. Like after I left SCF and play, you know, this is a little inside story. After I had left SCF and play, I wasn't sure about like my decision to go over to DualShockers because I was like, don't I have to be loyal to SCFU? Malik gave me a really good fucking speech. He talked to me for like an hour just because, you know what I'm saying? That's the type of guy he is, man. Always shout out to Malik, you know?
Yeah, he was the thing is, like even at the time when you were talking, I was like, dude, everybody at SCFU in play said, dude, do what you need to do, man. If the opportunity comes along, we'll still be here. Well, we were.
Yeah, well, you know, SCFU ain't around. Obviously, I got rid of that shit. Now I'm like, listen, I'll go wherever you need me. Just give me the money. You know,
well, I mean, because here's the thing, is there a big difference between the STFU and play situation where it was just a bunch of people that you knew that you were friends with, you know, as opposed to just like whole new territory where you just don't know anybody that's there. So, but I think in general, people understand when those sorts of opportunities come along, you know?
Yeah.
Like you even said the same thing when me, you and Adam were doing cool stuff, the blog, when you got the STFU and play thing, it was like, you know, you're like, you know, I got this good thing, but I really want to stay loyal to cool stuff. I'm like, dude, this is an opportunity for you. You should take it. You know, we'll still be here, you know. Whatever comes.
That's the old Tony. I'm not like that anymore, bro. I'm like, woof, fuck it. I got to keep going. All right, so let's move on the show. Okay, I want to give a shout out to my man Pixel Metal, who we had on the show before. He was, you know, he's a game developer. He was telling us about his games and stuff. He does a lot of really cool indie games. Now, he inspired the main topic. Originally, our main topic was about Destiny 2. We will talk about Destiny 2, but we got to talk about this shit. We briefly brought it up on Throwing Questions, but this is the main one right here. All right. So over the weekend, right, I think it was The Verge, right? I could be wrong about that. One of those sites with a V on it, right? So they posted a video of one of their guys, Dean Takahashi, who's a really good reporter, by the way. Getting that out there first. Guy's a really solid reporter. He leaks a bunch of Nintendo shit, right? So he was playing Cuphead, 26-minute video. Whoo, man, but all you needed to watch was those first 2 minutes, man. This guy couldn't follow simple directions, right? So obviously everybody was making fun of him and stuff. The video eventually got pulled, but it led to the whole conversation of, do gaming journalists need to actually be good at games to write about games? We've talked about this on Throwdown before, but the reason I want to talk about it again is because I kind of want to bring calm to the conversation, because I'm seeing both sides saying the craziest shit. One side is saying you don't need to know how to play games at all as long as you're a good writer. The other side's like, you need to be an esports guy to be able to write about games. I'm like, no, you're both wrong. You're both wrong here, you know?
What if he was like a Dota player or something? I mean, like, this was out of his realm. You know what I mean?
Like, because he was in the comment section of the YouTube video defending his stuff. And he's like, oh, but you got to understand, this game is nothing like Mario. It's completely different. I'm like, yeah, no shit. It's like Contra. Like, enemies would come at him and he'd try to bop him on the head, jump on him. He's like, no, dude, you got to shoot, man. You know, I figured that out 3 seconds into playing Cuphead when I played. I'm like, oh, it's Contra. Okay, cool. You know, but he didn't figure it out. But it led to this whole thing, you know, people bashing game journalists, you know, bashing the fans back. It like usual Twitter shit, very, very ugly, you know. But I'm going to start off with Manny. What were your thoughts about all this silliness that went on?
I mean, it didn't really surprise me as far as the thing. Sort of, I mean, we've done this. We've been down this road before. We did have a situation with another video game journalist was not playing very well on some other game.
Yeah, but author from Polygon, when he was playing fucking Doom. Chris, remember that shit?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, then I uploaded my video. I'm just headshotting and smacking everyone around. Like, no, it's embarrassing, actually. Yeah. Like, I think if you're a journalist and you upload a video like that, like, there should be a walk of shame. There should be a bell, and you get stripped naked, just walk down the road.
Uploaded that? I thought somebody was filming him.
And the video was called Watch Dean Play Cuphead Embarrassingly, right? So I was under the assumption that, like, okay, maybe the game is so brutal that he keeps dying. No, he couldn't follow basically what was going on is, like, they were teaching him how to do a jump dash, right? So you had one large platform and a smaller platform before, right? If you're a gamer, you know, okay, you jump on the smaller platform first, then you jump, and then you do the dash over the larger platform. He couldn't figure that out, even though the game was telling him right there what to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. But yeah. The most upsetting part of this whole thing is, like, a lot of these journalists have like ineptitudes with like video gaming, and sometimes they can use that as criticism for the game.
Yeah.
That's something mm-hmm. that like we gotta take like precaution of when we see these people write about games.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead. No, I was just saying, because that to me, that's the heart of it. I'm like, if you're not competent at playing games, how can we trust you, you know, about your opinions of games? You know, go ahead, man.
Yeah, like it's one of those things that we don't need you to be in esports, because none of us are professional, like caliber, like players. like, but we know the basic mechanics of most of the genres, at least the genres that we play in and review and talk about. So it's something that it's kind of upsetting, because a lot of like writing and journalist degrees take priority over basic understanding of the medium that you're talking about.
Yeah, I remember like Kotaku, they put out like a thing like, hey, you guys want to work for us? So you look at the requirements, they go, playing video games would be good, but it's not necessary. That's what they said. You know, being a gamer is not necessary, but that's what it is. It's like, because think about it, these people, they have influence over the types of games that put out there, like developers listen to them, right? So that's why I'm like, and I'm saying this as a game journalist myself, you need to know how to play games. I'm not saying you need to be fucking esports guys. That's just ridiculous. Most people aren't. That's like, what, 2% of the gaming population? But you need to understand basic shit, you know? And I figured that was just, this is what I said on Twitter, and Brian actually opened up the show saying this quote. If you're going to be a car reviewer, you're reviewing cars, you need to at least know how to drive, right? Same thing with video games. If you're going to be a game reviewer, you at least need to know basic functions. And my personal thing is like, you need to, if you're a game reviewer, any game that's put in front of you, unless it sucks and you hate it, you should be able to complete the shit. That's the barest minimum of requirement, you know? But these guys said that's not, you know, some professional people are saying that's not a requirement, that's not necessary. I'm like, really? Then why should people take you seriously?
Right. You know? It should be a mix. Like, look, I disagree with both sides, because they're both extreme, right?
Yeah.
But look, a lot of good game journalists, like journalists, quote unquote, like we're all bloggers or videographers or whatever.
Yeah.
People have more trust on YouTube, and those guys don't write jack shit. They just play the games, right?
Yeah.
They don't have to write anything. They go on there. You could be a clown like PewDiePie or Markiplier, and you're getting plenty of attention, right? But they can play the games.
And they could be really horrible at the game, and nobody would judge them.
Right. Usually they're competent enough to, like, follow an intro tutorial, which apparently this guy was not. So you have that, and then, you being a writer, of course, if you're going to write about a game, being able to spell and stuff is important, like grammar and all that shit is important, and Tony knows that. You don't need to be Ernest Hemingway, but you don't need, you know, that's what I mean. Like, like people are taking it to the extreme, like, oh, I have, like, a degree in communications. Well, good for you. Everyone else anybody can learn how to write properly. They can get a Chicago-style manual if they want to, and right. But the thing is, you sit down and play games. Like, you need some sort of skill. Like, if you don't have skill, like, oh, well, I'm a good writer. Well, good for you. Go write about something else. But well, if you're like, going to play games, you need to know how to play a fucking video game.
It's like a newspaper hiring for a sports writer. They're not going to just say, great writers wanted. They're going to say someone, hey, do you know sports? Because you have to write about sports, and you got to watch sports and understand the sports that you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'll tell you this real quick, right? Because I'm writing some reviews for IGN, right? You know, tech reviews, right? I was asked, like, hey, do you want to review some mobile shit, like, you know, some mobile phones? I'm like, I don't know anything about that. I could have said yes. I could have easily bullshitted my way through that, but I don't feel that would have been authentic, you know? It's different than a little bit of insider baseball stuff. When I was asked if I wanted to review like keyboards and headsets, I had never done it, but it's in my wheel space. So I'm like, yeah, I could do that. But cell phones, I don't know anything about cell phones, you know? So why would I put myself in that situation? But that's the point. I guess I have integrity that way, you know? Even if you ask me, hey, you review this RTS, I could probably play the RTS for you and finish it, but I wouldn't be a good source for it. So I would decline, you know? But again, this guy was saying like, oh, this game's nothing like Mario. It's like, bro, it's not a Mario game, man. It's a Contra. Fucking Contra game, you know?
It's crazy. I'm surprised this person even allowed himself to be seen playing a game like that.
Here's the problem. They don't find that performance embarrassing, right?
They just
puts it up and goes, oh, well, it's not like Mario. Well, dude, nobody said it was. It's its own game. Like, who the fuck said that?
But yeah, I think he just assumed that just by the visual style of the game and that you jump over things, that all of a sudden that it is a Mario game, but it really is just a Contra game with a cute, you know, like a 1920s animation skin on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is, I think the thing is, like, officially, I'm not worried too much about the person's actual performance, but I do think that, and I had this problem doing searches for the actual game. The fact is that you put this horrible performance out on this game also overtakes a lot of the media, the actual media of people who want to see the game playing.
Yeah. That's the other part I want to talk about.
And officially, officially, most of when I did a search on the Cuphead tutorial, all I could find was this guy's shitty playthrough of this tutorial. Rather than seeing it the way it's supposed to be played, I constantly see this version of it all over the place.
Yeah, that's which bad. Is not that's good. Bad. Yeah.
Officially, if you're going to be pushed, there's two ways that this should be done. Number one is, okay, if the journalist is not a great player, number one, they do not put any of their original gameplay on there unless they're competent on the actual site. That's number one. Other than that, always have the game creators playing the game, which they do a lot. Whenever you see those Let's Play thing, a lot of those first look playthroughs, usually they're the original creator, you know, and then the journalist is saying, hey, so what are you doing here? Or what are you doing there? Oh, you did this and, you know, that stuff.
Yeah.
This kind of messed up playthrough really is something for that site's live stream. I think it's more acceptable to see somebody fuck up and screw up during a live stream or, you know, unrelated, you know, personal sort of outside of the actual site space sort of stuff, rather than posting these kind of horrible playthroughs of these games. Because officially, when people look at these sorts of videos, they're looking at it to kind of judge if whether they will like or dislike a game. So yeah. If you're showing, you really want to show the game in its best condition rather than how much the person, how incompetent the actual person playing it is. Because you want to be like, okay, I could do, it's like, oh man, I could do all those awesome things in Doom, right? Like, doesn't that make you want to play the game more than seeing a guy fall off the edge or, you know, die all the damn time or, you know, not, you know, just not play really well?
Yeah.
So. I think it's just kind of doesn't help the situation when you put out you know, stuff like that.
I mean, if this thing didn't blow up, I could just imagine the headline of a review from that guy would be like, yeah, Cuphead looks pretty cool, but it's no Mario.
Yeah, oh my god, you know.
I mean, and then of course
you know what they said afterwards, right? Oh, it's the Dark Souls of platformers.
Oh my God. That's always the excuse. It's like, you guys know anything else? This is my problem with this is like these big media platforms like IGN and GameSpot, whatever, they have the resources to get to climb in SEO rankings and stuff and dominate search results and whatever. That's why Manny's seeing this guy's horrible playthrough. So other people who can actually play, like a guy like Rad Brad and stuff, who can actually play video games, this video won't rank up there with this guy's, and he'll actually play the game properly and show you what it's like, you know, and not bumble around and then give it artificial monikers like, oh, this is no Mario or this is the Dark Souls of Plat. It's stupid. It's ridiculous because a lot of platformers are harder. Has he ever played Super Meat Boy or Ori and the Blind Forest? Those are freaking hard games.
They're all modern platformers. Why is he comparing it to Dark Souls when he compared it to Contra, a very hard platform?
That's the other problem with this, is that these guys have no historical context other than Mario. And ask him what's the first Mario game he's played.
Yeah.
Right? It ain't going to be Super Mario Brothers, like the original one. It ain't going to be 3. It probably ain't going to be World either. It'd be lucky if the first one he played was 64.
Shit. It's sad, man. You know, again, it's like, this is why people, you know what? I mean, a little bit of a non sequitur, but it's still on topic. I remember when I first started in the industry, right? I'm talking 2012, right? Even back then, people still trusted game reviewers even more than movie reviewers, right? Now it's not like that anymore. People are like, man, fuck those guys. We're going to watch the dudes on YouTube, you know?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
People get their news from YouTube, man. Like, you've seen it live. These guys, and they're not great writers. They don't have communication degrees, but you know what they have? They have a lot of trust because they know how to play the game and they know how to talk to other gamers.
Yep. Yeah. And then the other thing about a lot of this is that there is always that question. If you are on a, a paid site, like a lot of those bigger guys, there is always that chance that some of the reviews might be beholden to the actual ads.
Yeah. All the time, man. Especially when they come out on sale, it's like, oh, this whole week is sponsored by, so-and-so, and we're doing the whole thing for this game. It's like, all right, and you're supposed to be reviewing it, without judgment. It's hard to believe it then. It's like, all right, I'll watch this content, but I'm not going to trust your review at all.
That's exactly what happened with What's-His-Face on GameSpot.
Yeah, yeah,
that's because they were being the bills on their site were being paid by the folks who made Kane Lynch, which was a Square, right?
Yeah, I think they published it.
Yeah, they published it. Yeah. They were paying the bill, so that means that there was Kane and Lynch ads all over the place. So they didn't want to put an overly negative sort of review on there, or give it a higher score, but then within the article, it kind of says something a little bit different,
Yeah, exactly. It's just stupid, But again, it's making Cuphead look bad. That's the real tragedy.
I want to see Cuphead played in the best of conditions. I want to see this tutorial played and how it should be played, not in this kind of weird, weird, undirectional way of playing. Yeah. That's maybe insane. Yeah, who knows? That this guy might be just some sort of, kind of semi-casual sort of gamer, right? Who likes to just play Mario games, because you said he was kind of into he breaks news on Nintendo. So maybe Nintendo is like his thing. So that's like the gauge of everything that's on there. It's like, oh, this is not a Nintendo game, But at the same time, he really should be able to follow the directions that are on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. But, just to end it off with this, on the flip side, you shouldn't expect every game journalist to be fucking, super esports guys either. That's unrealistic,
Yeah.
That's like expecting sportscasters to be super athletes, No.
I mean, this thing always shows up all the damn time, because most game, they always say that most game reviewers or game journalists, play the games on easy.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
So how is that an accurate way to judge a game when you're not even playing it on the actual difficulty that's supposed to be the difficulty that you're supposed to play?
Shout out to hip-hop.
Oh, shit.
I'm only joking. But the easy thing,
I know, for him, he doesn't see anything wrong with that sort of situation, but that is a false representation of what the game is supposed to be.
Well,
if the game was meant to be, obviously, yes, if you're not the greatest of good player, they put the easy mode in there for you so that you can, so that you can just enjoy the story and stuff. A lot of games are doing that sort of stuff, right? But at the same time, that is not an accurate representation of what the game is, the difficulty or what the game is supposed to be.
One of the things that people were saying as a joke, like, this is why gaming journalists love those shitty ass walking simulators. You can't die in them.
Oh, yeah. Man.
But the thing is that the one thing about those walking simulators that they can comment, because the thing is that, part of the gaming journalist, the journalist part of it is actually commenting on the content that's in the game that they experience. So a walking simulator, being that there's very little gameplay to a lot of those things, most of it is they're almost reviewing it like a movie.
Yeah.
You minimally interact with.
It's kind of interesting because you and I earlier tonight, we're going to talk about this later. We're talking about L.A. Noire, right? Because I reviewed that over on Cool Stuff, and I actually had a hard time reviewing that game, right? Because I was still learning how to write and shit.
Yeah.
Even nowadays, if I were to write that review, it would be no problem. But now, even till they say walking simulator games, they're very hard for me to review. Because like you said, I'm not a fucking movie reviewer. I'm a video game reviewer. With a movie, I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do with this? It's like, I got to review a movie, but I can't tell you about the certain things that happened because I can't spoil it. But for them, it seems like it's easy to review these walking simulating games,
And then the other thing about usual walking simulator games is they're usually about unremarkable things.
Yeah, it's like playing like an episode of a fucking slice of life anime. It's like, Exactly. What's the point of this? You know, it's crazy.
A lot of those walking simulators are that about, you know, down to earth sort of situations. You know,
yeah.
Fire Watch is, you know, they did try to insert some little fun little ghosty things, but it really wasn't anything. It didn't mean
it wasn't.
It was just that little thing there. Same thing with a lot of them.
That's crazy, man.
So one thing I just want to mention real quick about the whole the sports broadcaster thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like it's a one-to-one kind of thing because video games, the important thing about video games is you have to play the game.
Yeah.
Like in order to talk about it, like you can see like people play sports and talk about it, but video games, if you talk about video games without actually playing it, then it's kind of like, what's the point?
Yeah, I know you're right about it.
Well, it depends. I mean, was it? Remember, all right, do you guys remember Mike Adamley? He did American Gladiators and he did a few other things, but he was an announcer. Anyway, he made a jump to the WWE. They hired him to do that, to play by play and stuff. He couldn't do it. He couldn't get the moves right. He didn't understand what was happening. He really couldn't get a name. They were feeding him shit through the earpiece. Shit. And they got to a point that he just took the shit off and walked off. Pulling the shit out of him, and it's just one of those things. He was like, he came out and he did a shoot. He was like, listen, I'm learning, this is new, just give me a shot. And he kept screwing up the guy's names. He didn't know, he was saying the wrong moves, and just, it was so bad. And it's one of those things, it's like, I get it, yeah, if you're a pro as an announcer or doing play-by-play, you could probably jump in, but you gotta know some of it. I mean, you can't have an NFL guy jump in to a rugby game and understand the rules and how everything works just because he's called football. No, rugby's something completely different. So, yeah, I mean, no, I think you still need to know what you're getting into. You just can't be a great writer. I'm like, yeah, I can write about anything. You could. Don't mean it's going to be accurate. But yeah, I'm sure you could write some shit.
Yeah, by the way, quickly, the new name here, Matthew Trujillo, he goes, I love walking simulators. Trujillo. You know, that's what I call him. How'd you pronounce it, Carlos?
Trujillo.
Trujillo, awesome, yeah. Name. That's the name of the dictator that ran Dominican Republic until he got ousted.
Trujillo?
Yeah, Trujillo, yeah. Or Trujillo, right. You know.
Don't need to bring that up, man. That was a dark time, man.
He goes, I love walking simulators. Everybody's Gone to the Rapture was an odd, relaxing, twisted tale that puts you in an isolated world for you to unravel. See, again, you know, if you like that sort of stuff, it's fine. But to me, I'm like, I need something in the game, bro. You know, yeah, like some meat.
I mean, you know, I've like a walking simulator here or there, but I, you know, the thing is that the one thing about a lot of this stuff is that not all games are for everybody. As much as you want to believe those sorts of things.
Yes.
Not every game is going to hit everyone's fancy.
And maybe that guy didn't really like Contra games.
Who knows if he even played a Contra game? That's the other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
If he wasn't able to make that sort of mental leap that this was a Contra game, maybe he's never played one before. There are people that have never played Contra games.
Yes.
I mean, if you think about the last Contra game, PlayStation 2 was still around. That's the last Contra game, or whatever was on DS, right? There was one on DS.
Yeah, Contra 4 was on DS.
You know what's really kind of scary? Think about it like this. Like 40 years from now, right? Gaming journalists aren't going to have any of that context that we have when we were growing up. All those games, they wouldn't have played them.
Yeah.
How different is the industry going to be then, you know?
But they're still difficult platformers. It just it boggles my mind that this guy hasn't played anything. Like, they keep making sequels to Metal Slug and remastering them. They keep they make like things like N Plus and Super Meat Boy and Dust Force and all this stuff. Things that require some skill that are platformers. Ori and the Blind Forest was very difficult.
Yes.
Right? So it's not like we've had this gap in difficult platforming shooters or side-scrolling shooters. There's not been this gap. They've been there. So I just find it odd that he chose like and Mario is not one of them. Mario's a platform, but it ain't Contra. Mario and Contra, worlds apart. Mario and Ori and the Blind Forest are nothing alike, you know. So I find that comparison odd.
And the thing is that also, you know, the other thing about Cuphead is it's not a platformer officially.
It is, but it isn't, you know.
It's not. I mean, there's a very low platforming in that game. I mean, there's bottomless pits, but the thing is that they're not that difficult to get over. They're not like
it's a platformer in the way Contra was. There was some of that, Yeah, it's a exactly. fucking Contra. Again, I don't understand. Like, listen, this is just a reskin Contra. That it's not that hard to comprehend, you know? Nope. But again, like you said, just... if you haven't played Contra, you wouldn't know that. You know?
You wouldn't know it.
It took me 3 seconds to figure that shit. I'm like, wait, this is a Contra game, you know? I wasn't told that shit. When I went to Cuphead, I thought, just like this guy, it was a Mario type of game, right? And then 3 seconds, I'm like, oh, it's Contra. Never mind.
I actually talked to the creator of Cuphead, and when I first played it, like when they first showed it, like it was still like a boss rush mode. I'm like, this is Contra, and he goes, "Yep."
Yeah, I talked to him too. He's a black guy, right? That guy was cool, you know.
No, that was a white guy.
Okay, I talked to like a bald like black dude, and like I talked to him after the game, like, "Yo, this is fucking Contra." Like, yes, like that's the point, man. That was a good guy, you know. All right. Oh, by the way, Matthew Trujillo says he's not a dictator. Good. Don't kill people, man.
Okay.
That's like some.
We just need like, to get.
Oh, go ahead, Brian.
We just need to get that out of the way.
Yeah, he's not a dictator, you know, of the Dominican Republic.
I was following the tweets like most of you guys are, and I noticed that I think the producer or the director of Divinity 2, Bruno Sin, made a comment saying that the onus is not on the game, on the person playing the game to be good at the game, the onus is on the game developer giving a good tutorial on the game. And I took major annoyance with that because we all seen the footage. Like, I don't understand how that tutorial could have been any clearer. It's literally press this button, do this action.
Look, and not for nothing, I watched a video of a baby following the tutorial in Cuphead, all right? An infant. They can barely talk. So there's nothing wrong with the tutorial. And back in the day, we didn't have a tutorial. When you start Contra and you go in Nintendo Power and punch in the 30 lives code, guess what? You drop out of the sky and there you go. Music starts playing and things start shooting at you.
Shooting and flipping.
Yeah.
But Brian, you bring up a good point because I saw a lot of people defending this guy. And to me, that's not really defensible, man. You saw the fucking video. That you can't defend that shit.
Follow directions. Yeah. You can read
a lot of professional people were defending this guy and of course calling out gamers for being assholes.
No, honestly, if you can't follow direction, if you can't play this game, that's embarrassing. You don't get to defend it because that means you probably also suck. All right, I'm just gonna say it like that. Like it's a defense. Like no, if you suck, like guess what? Stop sucking. And follow directions and get good. Start playing games. Like you get paid money to do this shit. All right, so do it right.
Yeah,
I think
it's not
that
hard. Just play games.
I think it's also. I also think it's also, you know, it's false victimhood with those guys too.
Oh yeah, totally.
Like they're feeling that they're somehow being victimized by the fucking gaming audience. It's like no, all you need to do, you know, I'm sure they have. I mean, nobody's ever said anything to fucking Greg Miller because he's got perfectly a good amount of proof that he knows how to play fucking games.
Yeah.
Right. So I mean, the thing is. Just, you know, how do you get better at playing video games? By playing video games.
It's not that hard. That's it. Just play the game.
Not that hard, you know?
You know, we set some time aside each night. Actually, as a matter of fact, if you have to set time aside to play games, that might be an issue. It's like, why didn't you get into this because you love gaming in the first place? You know what I'm saying? We've talked about this before. It's like a lot of these guys, they get into gaming not because they love gaming, but because they couldn't get into the actual journalism side job they wanted. You know?
Well, the thing is that also, I mean, here's the thing: like there also could be people that generally love gaming, but are also just not gamers. So, I mean, I don't think that there isn't a possibility. I think that there's
aren't that good. But the thing is, like, but you still love it at least, you know, and you'll admit you suck at least. Oh, damn it.
If he would have just been like, yeah, I was just, for some reason, I was just not getting the tutorial. You know, sorry about that, guys. Being very, you know, very obvious about listen, you're playing horribly. We can't just give you an A because you tried the
A. There's no A for effort. And I'm sorry, but you can't call out victimhood when you're blaming the developer for not making it like a Mario game. Fuck that. Yeah. He doesn't have to make it like a Mario game. He made it like Contra. Deal with it.
Yep, there you go. But and the last thing I want to say, I know there are some guys that go to these events and stuff that aren't actually gamers. Like, you know, some guy from MSNBC who's the tech guy has to play these games. Those guys are going to be fucking trash naturally, you know. But at the same time, they are doing a, you know, they're there to do a job too, you know, even though they may not be good at it. But I did need to say that. But at the same time, I was like, no, if you're going to be an actual video game reporter, writer, whatever, you got to know how to play games. It's that fucking simple.
Yeah, if you're the tech guy from New York One, you're probably not going to be the greatest the greatest video game player out there.
That's like imagine being a food reviewer and all you eat is fucking McDonald's. You know, you don't know shit.
This doesn't taste like a Big Mac. What is this?
Yeah, exactly. This is trash. This filet mignon. What is that shit? That's not a burger. You know. All right, man, let's move on to our second topic here. Destiny 2, The Revenge. All right, now, originally, it was going to be three of us talking about this game, but it's only going to be really two because I couldn't play this shit, but I'll get to that later. But I'm going to jump to Adam first. Adam, what did you think about Destiny 2 so far, man?
Best game ever made. Changed my life, son. Sold all my other shit. I was like, what crap? Everything else. Titanfall, I set that shit on fire. Never needed
that's it. That's serious.
Everything. Metal Gear, anything Metal Gear, I just spit on it, broke it, threw it in it. No. This game got some issues. The game got some issues. I mean, it's a pretty game. It's fun. It's Halo World, you know? That's really what it is. I mean, man, it feels so much like Halo. I mean, if someone never played Halo, they were like, all right, whatever, I don't know what you're talking about. But if you played Halo, you feel like you're in Halo World. You know, but it's Destiny. You know, it's fun. It was all right. It sucks that we're having all these network problems, or I should say they are. You know, we did all kinds of troubleshooting. We learned something for a lot of people that don't know. None of your save stuff is actually saving into the cloud or anything. It's on their private servers. You know, so
it's not actually on your console. There's no actual save data for Destiny on your console. It all goes online into the world of the
computer. Yeah, so it was weird. But I mean, besides that, it was fun. I mean, once we started doing that first mission and we were getting those chests and stuff, I'm like, this is kind of weird, but you know, it's fun. It's more Destiny. You know, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, Destiny 2.0. I was like, I don't know if it's a full new version. It just feels like more stuff, and they fixed some things. I mean, the story stuff, a lot of people said, oh, this is great, it's great. But then, like I mentioned, a buddy of mine hit me up and said, yo, I finished it. I'm like, your game came out the other day. He was like, yeah, it's only like 13, 14 hours or something. I'm like, really? Not even 30 hours? You know what I mean? I mean, that's, you would expect more. I mean, I remember the first one, I beat that one, and that took me some time. I mean, granted, I think I was doing some side missions and other shit, and even with the Taken King, but man, I definitely didn't finish it in one playthrough.
Oh, wait, the first Destiny, I beat the story. I beat that shit in 2 days. It was that, like, it was.
So it was short for you?
Yeah, the story was mad short. You know, by the way, so what you're telling me is this game is Destiny 2, T-O-O. You know, it's the same shit.
Yeah. It's more. It's like they listen to a lot of people's complaints, you know, about, especially when always having to spawn back up to the ship to do missions. Now you just hold down on a D-pad and then poof, pick where you got to go and bounce. You know, it was fun running around and, you know, trying to do missions together. And I say trying because the shit didn't really work out, right? You know, but I'm sure once they do get those issues out, it'll be fun to play. It's a party game. You know, that's the way I saw it. I'm like, it's a party game.
Yeah, I mean, have fun for like 30 minutes. But, you know, again, I'll get to that in a bit. Carlos, man, thoughts, Destiny, T-O-O.
Yeah, man, it's like Adam said, like it's like a really cookie cutter game. The world is semi-expansive, but like the way the campaign is set up, it doesn't really intrigue you. Like, it doesn't, like, you have to go to one place and another place, and it's like this world doesn't really seem that lively. Like, remember, like, we were playing the parts that we did play.
Yeah,
like I talked to Tony about how he likes to look for shit, like look for hidden items and stuff, and I'm like, yo, bro, don't look for anything. This game is so, like, linear.
That's what I was looking for stuff. I don't know why.
Getting lost in shit.
But because it's like I got that mentality. When you go down the stairs, what do? You don't go straight through the door. You look behind and underneath the stairs. That's what I was doing. You guys are like, we're going to the base. I'm like, we didn't even explore the church. You're already running to the objective. I'm like, no.
Because we knew that there wasn't anything in there.
But there was. Remember, we found that weird creature guy, and we killed him, and we got a chest behind him.
Oh, because he was part of the mission.
Yeah, he was part of the mission. I don't know. He was part of the mission, bro.
I thought I found something special. Whatever. There you go.
Yeah, so like it's the game, the mechanics are good. There's really nothing that like you could have changed to make it better or worse. Well, I mean, you can make worse, but to make better. But it's not a game that I'm going to play by myself. It's a game that I'm definitely going to play with other people if they want to play.
Yep, that's it. I put that aside. I was like, until they come over patch and then Tony can play, then we could all play. You know, and then and Manny's definitely going to get it because this is Manny's type of game, right, Manny? Right? This is
going I totally love first person shooter.
Multiplayer games. Yeah, there you go, man. So
I made a joke with Brett on that the Absolver game. I said, I don't know, Absolver is my thing, but the only thing that'll probably happen, the most investment I will have in that game is the aesthetic look of my character, and that's fucking it.
But Bungie is aware of this. I mean, they know that it's a party thing. They know it. I didn't see it because, you know, I beat myself on the Xbox and now I'm playing on PS4. But a lot of you guys, like Tony, you saw that splash screen at the beginning showing all your accomplishments.
Yeah, yeah.
And it shows, I heard that it shows you people that you played with.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, you did this mission. It was like, you did this with the following people. You
know? Yeah, that shit was dope. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what those type of games are about, you know, and that's what gets people hooked to play.
And they got me thinking, like, yo, that's right, I did do that shit.
Yeah. And then you're like, damn, I haven't talked to that guy in a while. Maybe he's getting this one. Maybe we could do it again on this. Yeah. What, he's in jail? My bad. But if he wasn't, we'd be playing this shit and we could play together. I mean, that was my thing with The Division. You know, that's what I loved about The Division. I can get people, we can go play. You know, we beat that game. You know, and it was fun. It's like we're doing it together. You know, we spent most of the time talking shit, but we're talking shit and progressing through the game together. That one was like over 30-something hours just for the campaign. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, by the way, Barry, we're going to talk about the shader shit in a minute. So this is my experience with Destiny, right? Okay, so I played Destiny first during the beta during the summer, right? And you guys, I think I talked about it on the show. The motherfucking game kept crashing on me, right? So I go into this game thinking, okay, this is the finished game. They ironed out all this shit. It's going to be cool. Tell me why this shit crashed in the exact same spot. It crashed in the fucking beta, right? And that was the first of many crashes. It crashed like 5 times during the intro, and then it crashed a bunch of times when I was trying to play with these guys. We started a stream yesterday, right? And it was only 30 minutes because it cut out. Then we tried a second stream, 59 seconds, bro. And then today, you know, and then after that, I tried to log in. The servers were fucked up. Then I come back today. The servers are fine, but the same shit happened. It kept crashing on me, and I'm not the only one having this issue. Like, apparently, like, some users on the PlayStation 4 Pro, the shit just crashes on them. So I'm here. I'm actually liking what I play so far, but I can't progress. People are asking me, hey, Tony, what level are you? I'm like, I'm level 3. Like, why are you so low? Because I can't play this shit, bro.
Yeah.
So I effectively paid $100 for a game I can't fucking play. What kind of bullshit is that? You know? So sorry. I know you guys wanted to hear my thoughts on Destiny, but I can't fucking, I wanted to play with Carlos and fucking Adam. Couldn't do it. We had fun, but that was it. You know, it's fucking bullshit. You know, this is why I'm not a big fan of multiplayer only games, because you have to deal with nonsense like that. You know, it's fucked up. You know, Bungie really like, and Adam, you brought up a good point too. It's like, okay, because different people are having issues, even if they have a stock PlayStation have issues. It was like, so it lets you know that PlayStations are not all the same on the inside.
Because I have the Pro and you have the Pro.
And so does Carlos.
Carlos has a Pro, and Carlos and I weren't having those issues, and you had those issues. So that means probably the graphics card or something is made by a different third-party company, whatever it is. And that's something that Bungie didn't take into consideration when loading up drivers on this game.
Well, isn't that supposed to be the whole point of consoles? You're supposed to have a closed system that's completely homogeneous, so you'll never run into this shit?
But this is what happens when you try to make consoles like PCs. Brett, we need him.
Brian gets it because it's like, didn't play on PC, right? You can deal with these issues and have a better system on PC. You don't need, like, if a console is going to be that, then it's just a weak PC. Then if you're drivers and video cards, shit, man, that's not the point of it.
Yeah. By the way, I want to give a quick shout out to Richard Bailey, who's in the chat. He says that for me, Destiny should be called Crash Tiny 2.
Wait. Side note, for people that are thinking that it's just crashing, no, it's shutting down your whole console. It's not the game just crashing. This shit can actually kill his damn console or anybody's console.
This is what happens. Not only, okay, it's not a point of like the game crashes and I get back to the main menu, right? No, my whole system locks up to the point where I have to unplug it, you know? And you know that's not good for fucking electronics.
No, that's not. That's not.
So I'm like, you know what? I don't want to endanger my shit anymore. I'm not playing this fucking game until they fix this shit, you know?
And here's the sad thing. We don't know what's causing it. On the PC realm, right, when something like that happens, if you're playing a game and it usually powers off like that, it's something going on with your video card that's overheating. So yeah. I'm wondering if that's the case, that can kill the video card. And as we know, this shit's on board on this. That's it. Your shit's done.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? So we don't know how severe this crash is. We don't know if it's just... if it is something with the GPU or if it's something with the processor or maybe it's just a conflict with something when it loads and it's like, oh, fuck, we're done and it backs out. We don't know. So hopefully they come up with a fix quick. But if anyone's having this problem, don't take the chance. If you're having the same shit with Tony where the shit completely shuts off on you, don't mess with it. Don't chance it. Go play that butter game, Grand Theft Auto Online. It's an awesome game. And it's online. It doesn't crash your shit. You know, and then just sit back and be patient. You know? Don't worry about it.
Now, Adam, what's going on with the shader situation, man? Oh,
man, the shaders. Okay,
explain it for the people, you know?
All right. So shaders is just like putting different colors and stuff on your stuff. And the last one, you can put it on all your different things separate. Upper body, lower body, you get all kinds of stuff. It's different colors and schemes and stuff. You find these things throughout the world. Now you could actually put some real money into it and you can get them in this one. And that was expected. What wasn't expected is that once you put one on, you delete the one that you were already wearing. So there's no storage system. So if you find one and you put it on, whatever you had before, that shit's gone. You know, and a lot of people flipping out about it because, like, why couldn't you just come up with a similar method of just storing it? And the director didn't even say much about it. He was like, well, you can find it in the world. You don't really have to buy it. You know, it's all available. You know, we feel that this will encourage people to continue playing so they can find more. Just because you find more doesn't mean you want the shit. What if you just want to try it out for a little bit? I'm like, man, I don't like it. Oh, too bad, sucker. You know what I mean? That's not right. That's not right. You know, but I don't even think this is one of those things where it's like, who the fuck agreed this? You know, to something like this. Who said, yeah, leave that? That makes perfect sense.
Well, you know what it is. It's because they probably said it so where you can look for them around the world, right?
But yeah, they want to make the money. Yeah.
They want to make the money. So, okay, you buy one, and that's the one you can keep.
Oh, yeah, you would think, but that's not even the case. Mm. So it's a one-time thing. So if you do spend money on it, you have it, and then you get another one. Oh, let me try this one. Oh, let me go back. Nope, can't. It's done. What? I don't get to keep that?
Yeah, that's the first time I've heard of, like, a consumable shader in a game, weird. You know?
Well, you know, because they know everybody's big on customizing and stuff, and they would just be up in arms if it was actually armor and stuff, you know? I mean, we saw that with Dead Space, you know, people flipping out about shit, you know? So... I think this was their weird fix for that, but it's not a fix. You know, people need to be able to save all this shit.
But everybody needs to come together and yell at this guy. Don't yell at each other. Yeah. Don't justify this shit because this is all a money grab.
Oh, well, they are.
At Activision.
They are.
Yelling at each other. Like,
no, because people, that's the first thing people will like to do because, you know, they want to distinguish themselves and be like, oh, I'm going to get this new. Oh, what? You know, and then they're flipping out.
No, they can. You can flip out, but yell at Activision. Like, don't yell at the guy who's flipping out.
Oh yeah. No.
Yeah, this is absolutely wrong on their part to create an artificial grind, and then sell you more shit. Like, don't take that. You go to Activision and Bungie, whatever. You tell them like, I'm coming to your house to get my $100 back, motherfucker. If you don't put these shaders in there.
You know, but I feel like they're all doing some weird shit. Like, you know, Richard's in the chat. He knows about this. When we talked about wrestling, they have a season pass like all other shit. But a lot of them, especially with the wrestling, some of the packs they come out with, and we saw this, I think Borderlands 2 did this, was not in the season pass. The whole point of a season pass is so that way you get everything within the season. Don't start releasing other shit when it's technically within that season and say, well, that's not really part of it. You got to pay extra for that. Then why the fuck am I giving you all this money just to have all this stuff if you're going to make things excluded from my season pass? You know what I mean? It's like all over the place. It's like all these developers are trying to figure out ways to nickel and dime people. You know, and then you have very few that are just like, nah, we'll give you everything. I mean, I got to give shout-outs, even though I'm surprised EA's doing this, but the whole Battlefront. Remember, all that DLC is supposedly going to be free.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
You know, so power to them. We saw it with Titanfall 2. That's another great game. Go support it. They got more DLC coming out. All free. All those maps free. You know what I mean? Yeah, you can go buy aesthetics for your guide or whatever, but I mean, when it comes to the what the game is, you know, the stuff is free. You know, maps free.
Yo, Matthew Trujillo put on the chat, he's like, Destiny PS4 Pro patch coming holiday 2017.
You know? Shit. By the way, and Barry Burns says, error code 989, you have run out of teraflops.
Oh, here's the other thing. I saw people saying that thing. I didn't, all right, remember that bundle, that Destiny bundle? Was that with the Pro or was that with a Slim?
I have absolutely no idea. I think it was a Slim, to be
probably,
honest.
Probably right. Slim, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say
it was with the Pro, because... Cause like one guy's on Twitter, or Big Boss was up for it.
Yeah, because I saw that too. People were like, this game. I open up the box, you know, I get the code, I do the whole thing, I activate it, and my shit keeps crashing. So is it my Pro that's dead out of the box, or is it the game causing it?
Oh, it is the Pro.
Oh no,
yeah,
it was so Dio. Sorry.
Oh, it was Dio. Okay, shout out to Dio. He's in the chat too. You know. Mm-hmm. There it is. Limited edition Pro bundle. Yeah, it is.
So people didn't know if the crash was because of faulty hardware or if it was a game causing it.
Yeah, it's all fucking bullshit, man.
You know, right, so man.
Go ahead.
No, so I could just imagine in those situations, if somebody was new to the whole thing, I'm bringing that shit back. But like, yo, this one's busted. And I was like, well, if they don't have any more limited, then they're just going to get a default Pro. And then later on to find out that it's not your damn Pro, it's a damn game. You know what I mean? Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, yo, you just gave up your limited edition just for something that had to do with the game. It had nothing to do with the actual console.
By the way, I have a question.
What up?
So let's say I installed Destiny 2 on my other PS4. Do I have to upload my saves anymore, like from PS4 to PS4, or does that all
your saves are on the servers, you know?
On the servers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Link to your game.
Remember, it doesn't save onto your system, you know?
Yeah, and it's not saying, it's not backing it up on the cloud.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. So you know how like most games save on your console and then, you know, on the PlayStation, and then it eventually backs up all of your saves on the cloud? That doesn't happen. There is no Destiny save on your actual PlayStation 4 or anything.
Right.
It's all going up there, so that's how they keep track of everything.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure when you got under Destiny, right? Was there any sort of login system that they had on there?
No. Not that I can think of.
So they're probably keeping track of your unique PlayStation or Xbox information.
Yeah. That shit is crazy, man. All right, let's move on to some news here, man. All right, this one...
Is it good news?
No, it's just throw down. None of it is good news. The last two items, sorry, let's just be honest. Manny, you can lead us off with this one. What is going on with the Shadow of Mordor DLC, man?
Oh, well, so there's... obviously, everybody knows that Shadow of Mordor does have a DLC, the paid DLC. What they did recently, the creators of Shadow Mordor passed away from cancer. So what they did is they pay respects to him. They actually made a special DLC character that if you buy him, the proceeds go to his family. That's a nice thing. But if you ever look at the information for that specific character, you notice that there's a lot of clauses in that. Like certain states do not, you know, certain states cannot, they can't pay into the charity, even in certain countries. So the big question is, where is this money going to? And that's the big thing that a lot of people have been weirded out about, because it's like, okay, so let's say if you're in the UK and it has the UK listed as one of the places that, you know, that it's not, that are not eligible. So what does that mean? That EA just catches, you know, or Warner Brothers just catches all that money?
They released a statement too, and the statement was real vague. It was like, no, we're not going to do that. It's like, but what do you mean not doing what? Like, are you not going to keep the money, or you are? They didn't even say what they were going to do with that money.
Like, well, the money, they say that the money is supposed to go toward their family.
Yeah.
Thing is, the, you know,
that, for the ones that, for the states that are not participating in that.
Yeah. It, like, what happens? What happens with, to that
with,
money?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What happens with that money? They didn't release any information on what happens with that money. Are they going to build it all together in a fund and eventually in one lump sum say, all right, this is what you made out of that. We'll do it.
Yeah, they, again, they're not saying anything. And then all the, also the other big thing is that not all the proceeds are actually going toward this charity. A pretty big portion of it, close to half, goes to wherever.
I think it goes to whoever's hosting it. I think it'll go like either so, Xbox
so it's probably Sony or Xbox or Sony. Collecting that bit. Of money.
That's what I think. So, I think they because they make a percentage off of everything that's on there.
Yeah, of everything that's sold at the store.
Sold at the store. That's just.
But so you know they haven't actually said where that any of that money goes either. So it's a little bit vague and it's kind of weird to sort of to do that sort of stuff. I mean, to be honest, if you really want to, you know, pay your respects to this family, they do have a site, you know, of GoFundMe. Or whatever. That you can pay directly to, and you don't need to worry about where your money is going to. But yeah, it's a little bit weird.
Yeah, because I saw some people getting pissed off about that. You know, so I wonder. Yeah. I think it was actually Corey. He wanted us to talk about it. I'm throwing you a question. I'm like, okay, ask us questions. He never asked us the questions. We didn't talk about it.
listen, that's how it works. Throw it on your questions is a program semi curated by you guys. So if you want us to talk about something. Well, you have to ask the question.
Yeah, we can't, like, we don't inject our own topics and to throw it on your questions. It doesn't work like that, you know?
Yeah.
This is why we're talking about the whole Dean Takahashi thing now, because nobody asked us about it on Sunday, you know?
Exactly.
But the whole thing, I understand why it's a little bit fishy, you know? I don't really have too much of an opinion on it, but I definitely wanted to get it out there because it's very interesting, you know?
When it comes to donations and that sort of stuff, you have to be incredibly clear as to where these things are going. People want to know that their money is going toward the cause that they want to know, that they want them to. You know, that's why you look at like places like you know, constantly people talk about how the American Red Cross is probably the most corrupt nonprofit system out there.
Yeah.
But the thing is, because nobody can directly gauge as to where the money is. All they know is that the person at the top is incredibly fucking rich.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Matthew says they should have clarified exactly what was going on. That statement they released said nothing, which makes them look worse.
Exactly.
You know? All right. Exactly. Anybody else got anything else to say about this?
Just give money to the family. Don't even buy the shit and just go to the GoFundMe,
man.
Yeah, you know? Go to the GoFundMe. If you really care about this dude's family, don't even go through the Warner Brothers system. Just go over to these guys' GoFundMe and actually know where your money's going as opposed to kind of trying to read through the friggin' the stereo instructions that are the actual donation for this DLC.
And while you're at that, GoFundMe, type in Sabu, S-A-B-U. The guy has some ridiculous medical bills. He could use some help also. I'm just saying, he's up there too.
All right, moving on here.
It is just like really crazy how like One Buzz have managed to like, take this like really awesome game concept and then have just turned it on to its head now to the point where people like not shun but cringe at the thought of like when anyone says, oh, it's Shadow War, because now it has all this negativity
with it
from the microtransactions, season passes, and now this. It's like One Buzz is really not setting themselves up for like, a good look right now. And
they're expecting high sales on this.
Yeah, I'm concerned too,
man. I am genuinely concerned that they've kind of like set the game up to fail.
Yeah.
Because like if you like take out like all this crap, then I'm sure that like Shadow War is like a great game, but now it's like it's marred by this.
Yeah, the perception's ruined now. Yeah, you're 100% right about that, you know? Some bullshit, man. All right, so this next one is interesting. So Bethesda is going to be, they will be charging for Mods for Creation Club. This is interesting because I thought they were not going to make people pay for it, but now they are. Because remember that whole controversy? Basically, they announced Creation Mods a bunch of months ago, and people were livid. Like, I don't want to pay for fucking mods. And say, okay, you won't have to pay for them. But now they turn around and say, you got to pay for them.
I thought it was always you had to pay.
Here's the thing.
User created, you know, it's like
verified one.
Curated one.
You don't need to. There's user-created mods that you can find on other places. You don't need to pay for those. But for this Creation Club thing, yeah, you do have to pay for it, because the way they kind of push it is that it's DLC that's curated by them. So in other words, it's like stuff that they've looked over, you know, little mini DLC skins and all kinds of other things. Also, so that's what their stuff is. But when you get down to the nitty gritty of it, they're actually kind of bucking you for money, because officially you can't just buy, you know, they're usually like 40 cents or whatever the amount, because they have just a bunch of armors and shit on there. So, but the thing is, you can't just buy a 40 cents. You have to essentially exchange your money for their, what I call Bethesda bucks.
Yeah.
Right? And there's only Bethesda bucks only come in specific tiers. So it's like, you know, $5, 10, you know, 20, you know, stuff like that. In those, I don't know exactly the different, you know, the different currencies, but officially, like, let's say if you wanted to buy maybe one of those skins, officially you end up paying more and then having all this additional money left over. So you essentially paid like maybe $10. Like, let's say you wanted a few skins, you essentially paid more money than what all the things are, you know, on there. And then you just have that money sitting there until the next time you want to get something. You know, it's a little bit of an odd system. And the biggest issue with this, and somebody figured this out not long ago, is that all those DLCs that are on the Creation Club automatically download to your console or your PC, meaning that all you're paying for is a key to unlock it. To unlock something that's already on your console or computer. That's pretty fucked up, if you ask me.
I think also what they mentioned is that it doesn't void out your trophies or achievements using these verified ones.
Yes. It doesn't void out any of this stuff. But I mean, for now, it's just the silly aesthetic stuff. It's like, hey, look, it's the suit from Prey. It's it's a gun. It's a sword.
It gets like much, much worse than what you said.
Oh, yeah, and it's
like,
horse armor.
Because all these ones... Yeah, damn it, Manny. I was just about to say that. But what it is that they also get downloaded, as Manny says, and no matter if you use them or not, then they get downloaded onto your computer. So, and it downloads them all. Not like some of them, like it downloads them all at the same time. So, yep. Like, even though it's like small now, like once it gets to like 500 gigs or even like 50 gigs or 100 gigs of stuff, then you get screwed over, because like, all that space is just gone, like, and you can't do shit about it. Like, Bethesda, like, really fucked up this time. Like, this is, like, at first I thought, like, okay, you know what, it's a bad system, fine. But then I found out that, like, it downloads everything at the same time. I'm like, this is, like ridiculous. And then I was watching a video by Yongye, and he just went through, and he found out that, like, most actual mods, even though that Bethesda said that the Christian Club ones would not be the same as the free ones. Some actually are. Like, some are literally just these exact same mods, like, on there. Like, I don't think that I even give a crack in.
Yeah, what's going on, OBJ? What's going on, brother? Willie Robinson in the house, you know? All right, just moving on here to... Okay, now we're going to go into the good news portion of the show. Adam's favorite game of all time, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, has sold 10 million copies, son. And the game's not even finished yet.
In pesos.
Pesos, you know what I'm saying? But I'm glad you say that, because I was like, damn, that's crazy. But shit is $30. That lets you know right there, $30 ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'll try it. Why not? You know? And the game is so hot now, people are willing to, like, you know, just find out what it's all about. So, but it's very good. My question to you guys is, do you think that's going to actually, Adam, for you, do you think that success is going to translate over to the Xbox?
It depends. It depends from what I've heard from people that played it on the Xbox. It doesn't run so well, but I'm sure they'll fix that. And the fact that they're adding that keyboard and mouse support to the Xbox One, I think has to do with that. I think they're thinking, you know, people that, if they want to get the PC crowd in, that don't want to use a controller, that are familiar with just the keyboard and mouse, like, hey, don't worry, we got you covered. You know, and also it depends on the price. Is it going to come in at that $30 range, which I think it is, because they said that it's not going to be a retail release. It's just going to be a strictly digital release.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it will come in at that price range, or if it doesn't, it's going to have to come with a lot of shit and say, hey, we're not in alpha. No, this is the official version, you know, and this is the official price.
One of the things I understand about this game is one of the things that's helped it blow up is because it's become really super popular on Twitch.
Well, yeah, you know? It's like that with anything. I mean, it's super popular. People watch it. And then, like you said, $30, you know, and then yeah, there's some sites that are even having coupons and stuff where you can get it for $20. You know what I mean? So it doesn't break the bank. So he's like, yeah, I could fuck around with this for a little bit, you know, and then everybody just jumps in on it. But I really hope it does take off. You know, but it's going to be tricky. It all depends on the performance. It's really what it comes down to.
By the way, I love the fact that I can see fucking Grand Theft Auto in your glasses as you talk about
PUBG. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, hey, Brian, man, have you played PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds? Because, you know, you're a PC guy. This is a big PC game.
Funny thing, no. I have no interest in that genre at all. Like, to me, I see that the way that Manny sees every online game in that, hey, just go in and shoot each other. Like, I just agree with Manny's opinion on online games as just being that, but like now I see what Manny sees when he sees like any like online games. Like, you go into like a big room, you kill, you shoot each other, that's it. You know?
that's the funniest shit I've ever heard, but you're right about that.
There is a time and a place for those sorts of things. And I'm not going to say anybody's wrong for liking that, but I do feel like those sorts of things are probably the easiest sorts of games to create, because a lot of those is just, they don't need to develop any sort of content, like not content, but they don't need to develop any sort of stories. The characters can be negligible. They could all probably have the same abilities. The only differences between them is probably the guns and arsenal that you actually have. So it's just about how quickly can you get this other guy? And that's it.
Yeah, that's it. You know,
to me, I officially, in those sorts of situations, I get bored of the monotony. You're just constantly doing the same thing over again. It's okay. You're running around. You get shot, and then they get shot. You respawn again, then you shoot somebody again. You know, that's my
player opinion. Unknown camping grounds.
Well, you know, whoever said that's true. A lot of people camp. That's another thing that people do, though. They'll jump in. Well, not jump in. You dive in, and then they'll just hide because you get points also for lasting the longest. Some people are just purposely not do anything so they can get to that point when it's like a handful, and then they may come out, or maybe they won't, and they'll just wait until somebody tries to find them. So happens they have a shoddy, and then once they come in that house, pow.
Yeah. Or, you know, and I think doesn't that PlayerUnknown have that kind of thing that kind of pushes everybody to come in?
I thought that thing discouraged camping, you know?
Well,
it does discourage camping, but the thing is that there's a long time before that starts to happen.
It just keeps going. And then eventually you could still find, I mean, it's only that one map until they get the new one. So you'll pretty much find another hiding spot. You know the map, you know where to go.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You just find some place in the middle and just chill.
Just find some money. Exactly. You just go in the middle. Like even now, like I'm playing the Motor Wars, which is Grand Theft Auto's version. And, you know, as the world gets smaller. But the thing is with this, you have to really kill. Everybody's getting in vehicles and shit. But, yeah, people still camp. I see people camp in this.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You know me. I'm not interested in this shit, but yeah, I do find it interesting that the game is doing so well, you know?
I mean, again, you said it right there. It's the price point. It's people are talking about it. And that's a lot of times that's just enough for
people. It is enough.
This is like Rocket League for this year. Remember Rocket League blew up because it was free, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, you just get enough people that you put a good enough fun sort of game in that sort of situation, and then you just continue to push it,
yeah people like it, so that's great.
I have to point out that I do feel kind of bad for like the middle-sized studios who like spend all this cash on like marketing and like sell like maybe, like 1 million copies of the games, whereas like okay, how much marketing have you guys seen for this game? Because I like bar the E3, I've seen nothing.
No,
it's word of mouth and player marketing. See, that's the thing a lot of these companies need to understand. Like, you know, when it comes to sort of like fan things and all that other stuff, all that shit is free advertising. And a lot of them are organizing that into their marketing strategy, where essentially you build a big enough fan base and essentially the fans start promoting it to themselves.
Yeah. It like fans the flames for sure, you know?
Exactly. They fan the flames, you know?
I'm so, yeah, yeah.
So that's So yeah, like that's you know, some companies get very antsy about certain content and all that stuff, but they have to realize that all those sorts of things kind of help to push the game forward. You know, blocking people from playing games on fucking YouTube and or on Twitch or all those other things, those sorts of things are anti-advertising officially. Because where are all the people, where are most of the people looking at these things? They're on YouTube or Twitch watching people play them.
Yeah.
And if they like what they see, they will go and buy it.
Exactly.
But yeah,
the normal,
the
normal ad techniques don't exactly work these days. Most people don't have a, most people don't watch, a lot of people do not watch network TV. You know, so what do? And most people don't give a shit about ads in the street. So how do you get to those sorts of people?
Yeah, and I'm also so tired of these live action trailers and stuff. I'm like, come on now. This shit's
You know what kind of trailers I'm sick of? The ones where they take a famous song and they slow it down. So they take a Nirvana song song and they slow it down and get a lady to sing it.
Depressing girl sing it. That's what they came to do. Oh my God.
Yeah, that shit is getting tired already, you know? All right, man. So the last thing here is, where the fuck are we? Oh yeah, Manny, this is for you too, man. The return of LA Noire, man.
Yay! That's good to hear. I really enjoyed the game LA Noire. I mean, I don't remember it doing incredibly well. It was pretty well reviewed, but it was one of my favorite sorts of games because I like that idea of I miss the type of games where you're kind of a detective and stuff like that. And a lot of those games, that sort of genre really doesn't exist anymore. And it was kind of interesting to have that within the, you know, the kind of Rockstar-esque open world. You know, but it was really cool that they announced it, though. They haven't exactly said what they're going to be doing to the game. They've said things that they're going to be doing, like there's going to be a VR version for the Vive. You know,
it's 1080p, and if you have a Pro, you get 4K, and on the X, you'll get 4K, and it's coming to Switch.
It's like, hey, look, that's not a joke.
That's not a joke. And the funny thing is,
I thought it was a joke. I literally thought that's like the big joke, like, oh, it's coming to the Switch as well. I'm like,
no. Okay, and that's the thing that I couldn't understand. I saw a lot of people online and stuff saying, oh, if they can do that, they can bring GTA 5. Stop right there. Because you remember that game came out last gen, that's like 6 gigs, okay? I remember that game. You get the DLC, maybe like 7, 8. GTA 5 with everything is 144 gigs. Okay, this shit ain't going over there. It is not going over there. Two different type of game.
Yes, to reiterate, it is coming to the Switch. That's not a joke. That's not onion news. That's not fake news. It is coming to Switch. Yet another six-year-old game is coming to Switch, just like Skyrim.
Hey, you know? Hey, look. This is the year that Nintendo's going to get all those games that they never got from the PlayStation
from what I understand,
/ Xbox 360 era. Uh-huh.
Apparently, this is the 360 version of the game, you know?
Yeah. So, I think it's gonna do it. If ARMS can sell like 2 million copies or some shit, this game is definitely gonna sell there.
So yeah, you get to play a game. Hey, I can't wait for The Godfather to come out.
Yeah, right. Shit.
Oh man.
I wonder if it's gonna have the grass like the Xbox 360 version. Yeah. Right.
You know, for me, I really love LA Noire, but I have no like desire to go back, so I'm good on this one. You know, even though I could
play that ending. I did it.
Man,
that ending was horrible.
And pissed me off. Cole Phelps doing shit.
No spoilers. Man, that game is not 10 years old yet. Remember, you got to do the 10-year mark.
That's old enough.
No. Listen, my personal rule is 1 year. That's it. That shit is 6 years old. Don't spoil that. All right,
let's talk One Piece.
You know, One Piece ain't over yet, though. One Piece ain't over yet, though. You know?
Oh, no. Well, I'm not going to spoil the ending.
Yeah. Nobody can see the ending, you know? Even though Carl's, you're about to get me off track right now, bro. Because quickly, with anime that are like 1,000 episodes long, don't spoil anything because you never know when people start. Everybody played fucking LA Noire when it first came out, so everybody, but I'm not gonna spoil anime. But yeah, that ending annoyed me. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. Basically, the character did something on his own that you wouldn't have made him do. It's like, what are you doing, man?
But he did, he was doing some shady shit. They changed his character like halfway through. You're like, damn, my guy's a prick.
What happened? Although I will say this though, if I eventually do get the game, it's the easy platinum, you know, so that would be pretty good.
LA Noire has probably one of the not the easiest, but it's the one more straightforward ones. It's essentially, yeah, it just makes you, you just have to kind of, you know, solve the cases quickly, or, you know, I forgot what it was, but
to do them correctly, you get all five, yeah, whatever things, yeah, you get the right, yeah, answer every time.
You have to get the right answer every time, which there's is not for that thing to do. So do, yeah, quick. Yeah, I got the platinum trophy in that one, so it was, it's not bad. So
just finding all the weapons and doing the side missions, like the answering the calls on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I like the period. I'm big into period, yeah, pieces. They did a great, yeah, job with the mapping. Yeah.
It's a good game, man.
There's not a lot of games that also take place in that sort of era of games, yeah, you know, of, you know, world. Like, it was kind of cool.
Yeah, and they brought up some real case files, you know, the Black Dahlia and stuff. That was a real case, yeah, that happened.
A lot of the story. Well, the main thing he's kind of, one of the main things he's investigating is the Black Dahlia murders. Yeah. The other thing is that he, you know, there's a lot of cases in the game that actually are based on real cases, yeah, that happened in that.
Man, when I, you know what I said today, when I saw that headline news in my feed, I'm like, oh, they're making a sequel. That's the first thing. And when I saw it was just a remess, I'm like, oh, that's some bullshit.
But I'm curious as to seeing what the quality of a remaster they're going to be doing. Are the textures are going to get improved? Or is some of the mapping and stuff on their faces going to get better? Because they use this kind of kooky laser slash, you know, mapping sort of thing that they did in the game, which looked good on the original Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. And the PC, right? They're getting a PC one now, right?
Oh, there was a PC. It was on PC.
It looked great on those things.
It ain't Red Dead Redemption.
But the thing is that a lot of that stuff was, you know, lower res captures that they did. So as you turn up the resolution, you start to see the errors inside of it. So hopefully they actually have all the assets that they can, you know, reapply and they look better. Other than that, if it's just like the same game just running at a high resolution, that doesn't do anything.
Yeah, think of all the other games they have, like my Rockstar Table Tennis. That would have been good. Remember State of Emergency? Remember that one?
State of Emergency, that's an interesting game.
That was so
weird. Not a
weird.
Great game.
No, that's what I'm saying. Just
State of Emergency. Don't get me started on it. Yo, let me tell you about State of Emergency real quick, right? So I popped that shit in. It was at Evil Chris's house, right? For the first 5 minutes, like, oh my god, this is the greatest game of all time, man.
Look at all these people.
Yes, this is insane. So much chaos and insanity. And then, like, minute six, it's like, this is the whole game, isn't it? There's nothing to this fucking game. We shut that shit off. We never touched it again.
I never State of Emergency. I feel like Rockstar used to make games just to kind of improve their Grand Theft Auto engine. Like,
yeah, now that they improved, now they mastered it, now they don't need to make any more games.
Yeah, because it seemed like, you know, like with State of Emergency, they were getting into that realm. Okay, we want to throw a bunch of people on the screen, right? Then there's like a Manhunt, which kind of improved the aiming system and the stealth stuff from the, you know. So it's like, man, they make these games.
Everything was an improvement, you know.
They never brought in those executions, man. Those executions of Manhunt were brutal. Like when you had the paper bag, you know, the plastic bag, and you sneak up on it, you're like, I mean, damn, I was like, man, that's going to be in the next GTA. Nope.
They've perfected it. So that's it. They don't need to make games anymore, you know. They could ride GTA 5 for a long time.
Think about it. I mean, besides this remaster, they haven't released anything.
They haven't.
For a while.
They don't need to, you know? GTA 5 has been in the top 10 NPDs for like 5 years, man.
Making that money. It was funny because I told a buddy of mine, I was like, yeah, you know, you should get GTA. He was like, which one? Aren't they like up to 6 or 7? I'm like, no, it's still 5. Like, what do you mean? I saw it like, they said it was like a top seller. I'm like, yeah, it's just the old one. He couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand. I was like, yeah, it's online. So people just run around online. No, they add modes. How much is that? It's free. What do you mean it's free? No, you're reading it wrong. I'm like, no, I'm not reading it wrong because I'm playing this shit. What do you mean you're playing this shit? I'm like, you know, I'm not texting you no more.
Right. Wow.
Like, you're lying.
A waste of my time.
That shit is crazy, man. All right. So that's going to do it. So, by the way, shout out to Arn Poodle in the chat. She's like, when is it? When is this giveaway?
The giveaway?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Now.
We're going to give away motherfucking Sonic Mania, baby.
Sonic Mania
Edition, man. So I have the guy's name here. So I, you know, it was 68 retweets and stuff, bunch of subs. So the lucky winner, completely chosen at random, is Zach Attack 1013. All right. So if you're listening to the show, please contact us. I noticed, thankfully, that you actually do follow the show. So contact us, you know, hit us up and, you know, we'll get to you and we'll ship it out. Doesn't matter where you live on planet Earth, we'll get it to you, you know. And if you also want to, you could also contact me personally, tony@thecoalition.com, coalition with a K.com. Contact me if you want, but, you know, Twitter, this is the thing. We follow him. He follows us. So you should leave us a DM and we'll get to your shit, you know. And thank you for everybody who participated. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully we could do more of these. You know, as a matter of fact, let us know what type of collector's editions you would want and we'll consider it, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're making a little bit of scratch now, so we could get you this shit. And we like doing it too, you know.
Yeah, from the little bit of the YouTube stuff that we get, you know, little bit of YouTube, you know, that definitely can go toward getting a collector's edition, you know, of any one of the newer games that are coming out.
Yeah, so. Exactly. All right. So once again, Zach Attack 1013, please contact us so we can get the shit to you ASAP. I don't want this big box in my house anymore. You know? Yeah, that's going to pretty much do it for this. Again, one of those shows I went by fast because a certain somebody was in here. I love talking shit, man.
like you don't listen to the show.
You don't listen. Man. I talk shit, man. You know? Yeah, that's it. So again, congratulations to Zach Attack 1013, and thank you for everybody who participated. Sonic Mania, man, the greatest game of all time. You know, all right, man. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. Tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you later, guys. Happy third year anniversary, Throwdown.
Throwdown for life. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Yo, to everyone listening in the Caribbean and Florida, man, please stay safe.
Yeah, man, word up.
Man, no power and shit.
Adam Vale.
Yo, man, just people just keep watching that Lucha. Listen, watch Lucha Underground. If you're on Twitter, go ahead and tag them and just say, you know, I found you guys from Throwdown. You know what I mean? Let them know that people out there are still helping promote them, because I feel like a lot of people just want them to just disappear and not really understanding that that is an amazing product. It's an amazing show altogether. You know, if you don't know what's going on now, just go on Netflix. You can watch a bunch of shit on YouTube, but still, go watch some Lucha Underground. Let them know Throwdown sent you. And with all that, and there's a WrestleCast tomorrow. We'll talk some more shit.
Nice.
Coalition.
And Brian Majomo.
And people out there, buy a USB battery bank and not, like, charge your phone via, like, battery. Like, standard AC battery. That's some dumbass shit right there.
Yeah. Man. Brian, was that mansplaining? Did you just mansplain, you evil person, you?
I blacksplained.
Oh man, all right, Dad drops it right there. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Later, guys.
Peace.